DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubble up a dub dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
I said that like I knew the answer. Like, yes, correct. Well done, James.
Got it.
For knowing that thing I did not know at all.
Okay, yeah, because Jerome Wetzel wrote a book called The Actor's Nightmare.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So I was curious if it was like Taken or.
Oh, I see. I can see what you're doing, James.
I know. I wanted you to see because I want to test and see if you guys can actually hear this.
I wanted you to see. Wasn't that a line from Manhunter? Or what was it?
I guess not, because I'm not hearing any sound off of it.
Nope. No. I got nothing on this.
Is your computer sound up?
Yes, it is.
You probably have to have it plugged in somewhere.
Yeah, that'd be my guess. I'm not going to worry about it.
It's fine. It was just a thought.
I could put it in post, but that's about all I can do.
Or you could sing it.
I could, but no one wants that.
There are some great lyrics in that song. You can hear the thunder before the storm, but you can't hear the lion when he stalks his prey.
I actually, I tried to get out of work a little bit early because I was going to come home and try and learn it and play it on guitar. So we could play it
Jesus.
Because it's a really simple riff. But
what are you trying to say, James?
That twisted.
Someone's trying to impress.
Wrote awesome songs that were really simple riffs.
Are you saying that the incredible progression that Twisted Sister put together
is incredibly simple? And therein
lies incredibly basic.
How dare you? I don't know. Just kidding.
I don't think I'm trying. I think I said it pretty well.
Yeah.
I think your definition is simple, and my definition is simpler, slightly different.
We'll go with that.
Let me look
okay, hey, welcome everyone to an actually being recorded show.
Yay! Round of applause for the host.
You guys have no idea, but there are notes all over. Make sure to hit record. Hit record. I sent myself emails.
Just,
so.
He's got a lot of
arrows pointing towards.
Good and serial killer. That's well,
did you
done.
Like the,
well done.
Did you like the Facebook post?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was the face I made when I realized. So you guys listening, this episode will be dropping 2 days after our latest episode of Homestead, and you get two episodes.
Two.
You get a vignette and a full episode. And I got to say, some of Danny's best acting work yet.
Oh, shucks.
No one takes a pipe to the ribs like Danny.
Yeah. Yeah, that's accurate, I would imagine.
The senior quote right there.
Right?
Most likely to take a pipe to the ribs.
Most likely to take a pipe, ..
Could be hot.
See what you did there, Samantha.
Yeah, no, last week's show was incredible. It was groundbreaking. We
best one ever.
Pushed some boundaries.
Solved a lot of issues.
This is just a tribute.
Yeah.
You think so?
Basically
exactly.
Solved all the world's problems.
Joke sniper attacking without warning. glad to have you back, Bryce.
We'll set this up quickly. We gave ourselves a homework assignment. And did everyone do their homework?
Oh, most definitely.
I know Jim, Samantha, and I did immediately after the show.
I had to wait a couple of days because I was saving it for Josie, but Yeah, that was there's a reason I hated doing homework in high school. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, that's an hour and 45 minutes. I'll never get back.
Yay, Dan here, I'm on the same page.
Really?
I'm with you.
How did you add an extra 30 minutes? Because it was only an hour and 15.
Was it really?
Yeah.
It felt longer.
He watched the director's cut.
The extended.
Yeah.
I might have, because honestly, I had to go through YouTube to do it. So
that's where I watched mine. It was only an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And like the first 5 minutes, I could scan through because it had nothing to do with anything.
Ugh. Okay, well,
wait, Jim. Because I know a lot of people are going, what the hell are they talking about? So last week we decided, Bryce brought up a couple of just amazing sounding movies.
And I regret it very, very much.
Choice.
As you fucking should, Bryce.
And it got us all intrigued. So we decided that our homework would be, we would all watch the movie and then come back with our thoughts on it. And this led into I think we're going to try and do at least once a month, where a member of the show will pick a movie, we will all watch it, and then reconvene with our thoughts. And we started it with the amazingly titled movie, Helen Keller versus Nightwolves.
Yes.
From the people who brought you Franklin Delano Roosevelt, American Badass.
They abbreviated it because, you know, they're extreme.
Yeah. And this movie
He also wrote Range 15, I think it was.
Listen, I've heard just about enough of bad mouthing of this art, for lack of a better term.
Piece of garbage.
Oh, fucking steaming pile of shit.
You know, people said the same thing about the Mapplethorpe exhibit. I mean, technically they were correct, but
yeah, a bit on the nose there.
This film, and it was a film. It wasn't a movie.
It was absolutely a film.
It was historically interesting. I wouldn't say accurate, but interesting. It was a new twist on a classic tale that I think will have people asking more questions.
I have so many questions. I am anxiously awaiting part two.
I loved how they got around a lot of the sign language. We're just like, you take their hand and you put it up to your mouth.
Their face. Yeah.
Just and talk. You talk. You know, like it's
like a holophone where you just.
Like it's a soup can on a string, right? And that's how you're able to communicate with a deaf person. Like
there were
brilliant.
So many
it was fucking
times.
Hilarious.
There were so many times she made perfect eye contact with the person talking, and nobody was touching her face. She wasn't holding the glass cup on the table to hear perfectly, and she was having a conversation, full eye contact, like a normal sighted person.
So Can you honestly sit there and tell me though you didn't love the scenes where she was wandering around the house or the diner? Which, by the way, a diner back in the 1800s, fantastic.
Hey, yeah.
She keeps shouting the same thing as she's knocking over and destroying everything. Yeah, pie? I can smell
pie,
it. Am I close to the pie?
The pie.
The pie, Steve. I wrote notes. Look, I wrote notes about this film.
I just couldn't.
I couldn't do it.
First
Jim
of all,
quit the show.
I get it. Okay, I can see things from your point of view. All right, it is a lot like if a bag of Doritos came to life and made a movie, right? Like somehow
cool
with like
ranch.
Ridiculous amounts of money and access to all types of pharmaceutical grade narcotics. It starts at batshit, and you just go from there. And you're not there. It's not like a Hemingway novel, okay? It's not going to get you to seriously look inward to find the inner Helen Keller or just the gay brother who was, like, untouched no matter how many times the wolves attacked. Like, the wolves are just
that
like, they slaughtered everybody but you?
I was they drinking everybody alcoholic root like, beer in the.
He's like, I know, weird, right? Yeah. Like, it was, oh.
Can that I tell
one
you?
One of the only things I found genuinely funny.
I was sold on this movie with the opening song during the credits. And when one of the actors was listed as Guantanamo, I was in.
You know, you guys do know he's got a bunch more movies, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I will watch
that,
them.
Dude, and Samantha, you pointed this out because we were going back and forth on Messenger. There's some, not like A-list actors, but actors like you recognize. You've seen in other stuff. Yeah.
Who have careers.
And you know they're not going to pay for this because there's absolutely no budget. And they were
he's got to have some blackmail on him.
Throwing the taxidermied wolves at people.
God.
They had like two wolves. Oh.
Yeah.
It was something over there just hucking at each other.
I love the fact that you swapped footage of wolves.
It was a labor.
Just like made their eyes red. Like superimposed the red horribly. And then, threw taxidermied wolf heads for them to fight with. Oh, wow.
Look, I was on the edge of my seat at the big climactic battle when the wolf was actually choking Helen Keller.
God. That was fucking ridiculous.
It's choking me. It's choking me. And yet you're speaking perfectly.
Honestly, that whole movie felt like it was a student film just gone wrong.
That movie felt like if we tried to make a movie.
Right. And that's where I was looking at it like, God, dude, this isn't low budget. This is just low budget on purpose. It's like,
yes, you gotta do exactly. The
and they spent it all on coke and a couple of named
they
actors.
Had a couple dollars left.
Yeah, and they were like, oh shit, we gotta shoot it.
This movie was made by people who just didn't give a shit.
See, it's somehow weird. It's a self-aware bad movie, which is the ones that I hate the most. Because they're bad on purpose instead of
like... Oh, you mean like Serial Rabbit?
Oh, hey, that was a fucking masterpiece, okay?
See, we can... Everybody has their particular brand of junk food, and
no, that was a piece of shit too. But like, take a movie like
Hobo like with Birdemic. A Shotgun.
Hobo with a Shotgun. They genuinely tried to make those movies, but they just failed so hard.
See, I absolutely think Hobo with a Shotgun was a really interesting movie. Where they lost me. And if they just took this scene out, the movie kind of makes sense. The tentacles, the octopus tentacles out of nowhere for no reason. And well, there's no metaphorical
budget, you know?
They're metaphorical. They're supposed to represent the problems that a hobo has. All right?
Fuck you think
you,
they
just
do.
Getting the shotgun isn't going to solve all your problems. You still got alcoholism. You still have a problem with, you know, your work history, your living history. You know, those are different tentacles holding you back. But we're getting
did
off
we
topic.
Did we watch the same movie? Because I'm pretty sure that...
That's Hobo with a Shotgun.
You're a very
about.
Deep fella there, Big Jim.
Very I did not deep. Watch this movie.
Another horrible high school quote. But no, I wanted to read off some of the things
please.
That I wrote down, if I may. First, which, I don't know, I may have saved this for last, but... It just bears stating from the front, every wolf attack in the fucking movie takes place during the day. They're called night wolves. And they're there. The first wolf attack during the day. And then I watched the rest of the movie. I'm like, they're all during the fucking day.
Except, Jim, there was clearly a blue tint.
Oh, no.
That was
that
made
is something
to represent
that
night.
Absolutely fucking nuts. I hate it. When movies like, particularly ones in the 70s, love to do this, but the daytime-nighttime filter, trying to make shit look like it's taking place in the middle of the night, but it's just got like a sunglass blind over the camera lens.
Yeah.
But you can clearly tell it's in the middle of the fucking day, and it's like, don't sell me
that. Well,
that
would
dude.
Require a lighting crew, and that costs money.
Yeah, they spent all that money on those stuffed wolves, man.
Well, I think they did a Kickstarter for this.
They spend the money on the costumes.
Well, see, whenever the wolves attacked,
everyone was going the gay guy.
Whenever the wolves attacked, it went all like crazy Skittles commercial where, like, you know, there'd be lasers and weird sounds and people dying in horrible explosions.
Blood spatter. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they did an Indiegogo for it, and the Indiegogo raised $41,522.
That's
so what you're saying, Bryce, is that
they spent $41,000 on drugs.
Yep. And $10 on an Instagram filter.
Yep.
Something else I got written down here. This isn't like dinner theater quality. This is diner theater quality. Without doubt.
Pie.
The part. Oh, yeah. I was going to say 95% of this movie, I think the director just said, okay, go into this room and just wreck the shit. Everything. I want the fucking wallpaper ripped off. I want the ceiling panel. I want the foundation to be, you know, off kilter by the time you're done.
I can do that, but what's my motivation?
Pie!
That's how they paid actors was in pie.
When they're doing, like, the round of jokes, all the Helen Keller jokes at the diner, which at first I was annoyed at because I'm like, we're gonna do fucking street jokes. Then I was getting a little insulted. But then at one point when her sister just like fires back, like, how do you think she feels, dickwad? I'm like, this is gold right here. This is straight. They slid in when they brought in the hobo character, which, I mean, again, this was FDR. He's like, he's got a contract with this company, obviously, to always play the crazy lead.
And he is but the homeless established
hobo.
Very bossy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he has fucking the longest IMDb list.
I don't think he says no to a movie.
I think that's probably one of his problems.
Actually, I think there might be video or pictures of him floating around.
Never said no to a movie, never said no to cocaine.
That's what I was saying. He's got some blackmail on him. I wonder if they're related.
But Michael Fassbender doesn't say no to a movie. He'll do anything that he's pitched.
Well, clearly he does because he wasn't in this.
When they ask him, they're like, so, Jesus, so your wife was blind and now you want to try to take care of Helen? Like, do you got some weird kind of deaf and blind fetish? And then the sister's just like, God, I hope so. But they had subtle moments of brilliant humor as well. Like, Helen, you wanted to see me? Like, come on. Like, it's a thinker, but it's worth the chuckle. I'm sorry.
I think
Helen,
my favorite,
you wanted my, to see my,
not to cut you off, Jim, but I think my favorite thing in the whole thing is when she felt cool and she started saying queef.
Like you do.
She's still having trouble with that one.
Queef.
That's so queef. Queef.
That's so queef.
I think I messaged super you guys that. Queef. That's so queef.
That's so super queef.
Name of the episode. That's so queef.
That's so super queef.
But when it came time to be okay, so what's the overall like moral of the movie? Keep your minds tight and your boners right. That was the closing. I had to write it down to remember it because I'm like, I this needs to be immortalized. I don't know what team of you know former lab monkeys he's got firing off these scripts, but. God, give him extra bananas tonight because that movie was hilarious.
Right.
So,
clearly,
I feel like this movie got 2 out of 5 naps from us because 2 of us liked it and 3 of us clearly did not.
No. And I'm with Bryce. Go ahead, Sam.
I'm in the middle, like at least 2.5 naps. Or queefs. because I totally agree with Jim. There were real, real moments of like comedic, just great timing, great phrasing, great, you know, like There were moments that were just so gold. I was like, holy shit, these people know what they're doing. But it was so, I enjoy movies that are self-aware. So I disagree with Bryce on that part, because I do like movies that are self-aware, but I like it when they're cleverly self-aware.
Yeah.
If they're self-aware just for self-aware sake, because guys, look, we suck. Like, that's not as funny. It's in the subtlety is where self-aware is funny. And when they're subtle about it, that's when they have those golden moments of sheer like comedic brilliance. But overall, I was just kind of mad. One stupid on purpose movie I use as sort of my barometer is the first Sharknado. Yeah. Everyone was like, this movie's great. It's fantastic. I hate that movie. It is stupid. It is bad. It is not funny. And that's sort of my, like, do I like Helen Keller versus Night Wolves better than Sharknado, or do I like it less? And I liked it more than Sharknado. So I'm like, I wasn't physically angry walking away from this movie, because I sort of missed. But Sharknado, I was mad because it was just a bad movie.
I knew going in, because I had seen FDR, American Badass, I knew exactly what I was in for.
Oh, it was art.
I would say it was different, though.
And I think it really was. I think that's why you and I both liked
way
it.
Way different.
I'm not sure I see how exactly FDR, American Badass was different with the inclusion of werewolves and the side story of his wheelchair becoming a fucking, like, A-team vehicle. You know, like something out of a sequel to Tango and Cash. You know, just like this beautiful, violent piece of art. But no, I would say for you, Samantha, check out Riff Tracks, because they do Sharknado, I think, 1 and 2. And that's the way that movie should be watched, because they eviscerate it. I think they did Sharknado 2 live. They did a live reading of that movie, and it makes it tolerable. But try to watch it and devour it as is. It's garbage. But Helen Keller versus the Night Wolves, it feels like it was made on a dare, but it was done where they're like,
you fucking won't.
If we're gonna do this. If we're going to fucking do this, we're going to do it good. And there was genuine dare.
Triple dog dare.
Dude, seriously.
And that's why there's only 3 wolves.
You know? And there's a dude from Brooklyn Nine. There was a guy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine that was one of the people from the diner. There was the sheriff, who's also been a longtime character actor. Like, respected character.
Dude, the old Helen Keller has been in tons of movies.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's what threw me off when I first looked it up. I was like, wait a minute, she's in this? No. And then I remembered Kingpin, and I was like, okay, yeah, that matches. Never mind. But honestly, I'm with Bryce on this, though. You know, there's something beautiful and wonderful in a bad movie that actually thought it was trying to be good.
Yes.
You know, they put in the effort, they were genuinely trying, but it's just fucking garbage for one reason or the other. This movie, like, FDR American Badass was nice because, yes, they knew they were going to be fucking up history, but they had such a interesting, almost likable character, and then they used Barry Boswick, which was a fucking win. But this story, they just were like, okay, so we want to take someone from history again and totally fuck their shit up. Here we go. And they went over that boundary. FDR, by no stretch, is an amazing movie, but fucking hilarious. It is.
And it's a little easy. Like, yeah.
It felt like a lot of their jokes kind of landed flat with me, and they ended up running on dialogue a little too much to drive home the point that it was trying to be obnoxious. And it's like, ugh.
Yeah. See, that's definitely how I felt with this one. And FDR American Badass almost felt like they were kind of trying on that one. Like they were actually trying to make kind of a goofy
See, I absolutely 100% disagree with that. I think with FDR, I think...
Of course you do.
I think both movies, they were like, you know what, let's just make a bad movie and who cares? And I think with FDR, they ended up making a bad movie that would happen to be good.
I can't speak on it because I haven't seen that one.
It's significantly better than this one.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Well, I would say...
Without a doubt, I mean, this one is not... fucking gonna win any awards by any stretch.
Maybe a Razzie.
No, I don't think it would even qualify for that. I honestly think that with FDR, they were like, let's just make a bad movie. And it just kind of blew up. Because we heard about, Bryce, we heard about FDR when it was like, it was at Cannes.
Yeah.
Because we were doing a thing on all the films at Cannes, and that's where we first heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
Along with Rubber.
Oh God. Don't even fucking that was the worst movie I've ever seen.
A movie they were trying to make a good movie and they just
I did not see Rubber.
Oh, do not waste your time. Yeah, oh my God.
You did the commentary with us.
No, I think it was just you and me, James.
Was it just us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to look it up. I swear, Jimmy, you were with us.
I was supposed to, but I don't know, scheduling.
He got smart. Or...
Made a no, because he's still on the show.
He had a moment of clarity. Just a moment.
Just one.
Just a moment.
Yeah.
Just
not full clarity.
Just small. That's too small.
Yeah.
And he used it all up. It's like a drug. It.
Rubber was the big film that year at Cannes.
It was supposed to be amazing, and it was just the worst piece of garbage I think I've ever seen. Yeah. I would watch Helen Keller multiple times over fucking Rubber.
Rubber was about a tire that came to life and killed people.
I heard about it.
I think if they just stuck with that, that would have been better than what they did, because what they kept doing is cutting to an audience who was watching all these murders in the desert with binoculars. It was breaking the sixth wall, I think, because they were way past the fourth wall. It was really, really tough.
It was some Buckaroo Banzai shit.
I don't know how we made it through. I think it was just force of wills. Like, okay, it's on. We might as well watch it to the end.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
At least with Human Centipede, we found a way to crack the code when we discovered that Dietrich Laser looked like fucking Christopher Walken.
Oh, and Jim, so I don't know if you're aware, and I'm really sorry to be the one to deliver this news, but Dieter Laser died.
What?
Yeah, died recently.
That's not true.
That is
fake news. And it's sad that you would perpetuate that fake news story on a respectable podcast. Like not another podcast.
Thank you, Bryce.
Oh, that's when it was reported? 29th. Oh, when it was reported. Okay. Yeah.
Laser will never die.
The first image I saw, he looks like he was already dead. So
I have a post on my Facebook.
Yeah, when we saw
Facebook
Human Centipede, he looked like he was dead.
Yeah.
I will say that I have a post on my Facebook that says that Betty White dies at 89. And, you know, it's fake news. It's all about her hair. It's a joke. It's fake news. It's not real. He's not dead.
Bryce, we better get ready to counsel him next week when he learns it's true.
Oh, God.
Jim, it's going to be okay, buddy. It's going to be okay.
Of course it's going to be okay, because he's not dead. He's not dead, okay?
He'll always be in your heart.
If you can't kill something with at least three hearts sewn together, okay? You just can't. And it's mathematically impossible to kill something with one anus and three hearts. I mean, that's a power ballad song right there.
He was found. He was found with a fleshlight made of sandpaper.
Well, that tracks. That tracks.
That tracks.
I mean,
there's the name of the episode.
So, moving away from the bad movies.
One last thing I just wanted to say about FDR American Badass versus the Helen Keller and the Night Wolves. FDR American Badass, the narrative was a little easier to follow, which I think is why it felt like a better movie.
I thought you were
going to
say better, and I was like, yeah, I enjoy World War II as well. I enjoy millions of people dying.
That was not the path I was on, but okay. Thank you for the
weird turn.
We knew that was okay with you, though, Bryce. Come on now.
Thank you for the chilly look inside your black heart. That was nice. That was refreshing.
You're welcome. I already found our next movie, just so you guys know.
Okay, we'll save it.
Better fucking be better than this last one. That's all I got.
Oh, I make no guarantees.
No. Bryce, you picked the last movie, so someone else gets to pick this one.
Well, no one gets. I call dibs on this one. So,
well, Bryce, I see you as
last week, James. We said that after because Bryce had another one that we were all really excited about, but he wouldn't tell us what it is.
Yeah. No.
Oh, yeah. So that one, it's probably going to be one that I'm going to have to watch because I sourced it locally. So Danny, James, and I could probably watch it, but I don't know how you guys are going to get a hold of it unless you want to spend $25 on it. And I do not think you want to.
Well, spill the beans, because I don't think Sam and Jim are in on this.
Okay. Well, James did tell us or did invite us to like a watch Facebook watch party.
Yeah, I've got a group together because I did a little research to see how it would work, and I'm hoping to try and test it. Maybe I can test it with you, Danny, sometime this weekend.
Yeah. Just
open it up, see if we can watch the movie. If you and I can, then everyone else should be able to.
No, that's fair.
But my thought was, if we're watching it on the Facebook, we can have a Zoom meeting and we record the Zoom meeting, because hopefully none of the audio will bleed through. So, but that's what I want to test this weekend, hopefully.
Okay.
Since you guys
Rollerblade 7 trailer.
Yes, it is called the Rollerblade 7.
The Rollerblade 7. Interesting.
Yes. Is that like that?
Sounds intriguing.
Okay. A roller derby team?
No.
But yeah, for the, okay, so the watch here. Party, it'll be a first viewing commentary. So it'll be a movie none of us have seen, and we're gonna riff tracks our way through it.
All right, so let me read the description.
Yes, give us the synopsis.
In a futuristic society, a sword-wielding roller skater fights evil ninjas, punk roller skaters, and is set on an important rescue mission.
What year did this come out?
90.
Stop talking. 91. That's all I need to hear. 91. Okay.
So there's two. There's a sequel as well.
Of course. I mean, they're fucking better. Skates come in pairs, Bryce. They come in pairs.
There's technically three, but the third one is just footage, like the two movies kind of combined.
Like a third wheel?
Yeah.
Outstanding.
So okay.
Flawless victory.
This is the type of movie that I think someone genuinely tried to make. Like, they really tried.
Well, it was a hot. I mean, was it rollerblading? Because obviously that was all the rage of that time.
Around the 90s. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was Jack Black's first movie, because he looks like he's like 15, 16. It's called Airborne. I think it was a Disney movie.
That's a
fuck. You seen Airborne?
Yes.
Yes. With Seth Green
and Jack Black.
Yeah.
Outstanding. So, and the reason I think they really tried is he has a very current website up still for this movie.
To this day.
Yes, Scott Shaw is the like the star of it.
So t-shirts are still available?
It is an off cult classic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can only have.
All right. I'm in. I'm down.
I'll give it a shot. Yeah, I'm fancy.
The only problem is I don't know how easy it's going to be for you guys to find. So I found it locally at Movie Madness.
Yes.
So they have the combined version, which is what do they call it?
What's it called again, Bryce?
The
Rollerblade 7 is the first movie, but the one you'll probably find is The Legend of the Rollerblade 7, which is kind of both movies combined.
Okay. Well, tell me when you go to rent it, Bryce, because I don't want to go and find out that literally the only copy they got is in your
literally room. The only copy. They only have one copy of it.
I'm not going to lie. There are some movies that Movie Madness has that they only have the one copy of.
Yep.
Because
so you can buy it on Amazon. It. You can buy it on Amazon still for $25, but I don't know if I want to own it.
No.
Yeah.
No, let's watch this first.
I thought Movie Madness burned down.
Nope.
Well, they were going to close, but they fundraised. Yeah.
They got rebuilt, and now yeah. they're owned by the Hollywood Theater.
Awesome. Awesome. Yep. So, I'm glad that they came back.
Yep. Historical district now.
Fuck real.
I'm actually looking to see if I can't find it.
Good luck.
Not on YouTube or anything?
Nope. I checked all of the streaming services. I even checked Tubi, which is like a new one that has a lot of these weird off-brand ones.
I love Tubi.
Dude, Tubi is the shit. They have really good fucking stupid movies there. Shit like, you know, Blood Diner or Chopping Mall. Yeah.
Chopping Mall is a phenomenal film.
Since I was a kid. it looks like it might be available on IMDb's streaming site. Just because it has the option to add to watch list. Let's see. Sign in. This is super great content for anyone listening.
Listen.
Did
to
you hear the part where they were trying to find the movie online? It was riveting.
Well, I highly recommend everybody watch that trailer.
While we're all trying to find it online, let's kind of switch gears because, Jim, you let drop something earlier this week that I have been obsessed with.
This movie is going to be amazing.
My story. Okay.
It gets better.
Yeah. Because the timing of this, Jim, could not have been better.
Okay.
So, a legend in the professional wrestling world has.
Stop it.
Hung up his boots. The Undertaker has announced he will not be wrestling anymore.
Oh my God.
I watched the 5-part documentary called The Last Ride that kind of documents like the last 3 years of his wrestling career up to the point where he's calling it quits.
Yeah.
Right after I finished watching it, I got a message on Messenger from Big Jim. Hey guys, it seems a friend of mine unearthed some pictures from our professional wrestling league.
Well, so again, you keep using the term professional.
Jim was part of an up-and-coming wrestling league.
Something along those lines, yeah.
Why am I surprised?
Fuck yeah.
I must know more.
Well, okay, so this tale starts back in the 90s. In high school.
Like all good tales do.
Yeah, I'm in high school with me and my buddies, and the internet is still in its infancy. YouTube isn't even a thought, you know, on anyone's radar as of yet. But we're all just massive, you know, wrestling fans. You know, WCW, WWF, ECW. Independent stuff, Japanese stuff. Like, we were just obsessed with all different types of pro wrestling. And we would go to local events whenever they would hold them up at the Hershey Park Arena. You know, we'd watch, Shawn Michaels beat Jake the Snake Roberts and just watch the great Unwashed from Pennsylvania descend on Hershey Park Arena. Just like straight fucking tree people. Just like creepy, like living in their truck, and their truck's made out of wood somehow. Anyway, mingle with the hoi polloi when you wanted to be around the thing that you loved. So we decided we were going to start our own wrestling league in high school, our own backyard wrestling league. We were going to call ourselves the LCW, or Lancaster Championship Wrestling. And it started as most things do, like a study hall or something, where it's just like, that's a great idea. We'll all meet over at so-and-so's house. bring, you know, whatever costumes you want to dig up for whatever characters you want to create. It was fast and loose. None of us knew how to do any of the moves properly. I don't know how none of us walked away with any severe spinal deformities or long-term health maladies. Our ring, if you want to call it that, wasn't a ring. There was no ropes. It was four mats kind of lazily draped and killing someone's lawn for the better part of an afternoon. And you would kind of like, we'd have somebody there as a ref, kind of wearing a striped shirt.
It's not the right colors.
I mean, we make jokes. It was a Foot Locker employee. Like, that was the running joke that we had. So you would get whipped into the ropes, so to speak, which meant you just sort of, and there'd be the camcorder, one of those shoulder-mounted, full VHS cassette loading style, like Goldberg's video recorders, just collecting all of this gold, right? So, like, you get whipped into the ropes, you would just kind of run to the end of the mats and then kind of, like, slowly pretend to get, like, propelled into the ropes and thrown back and then just run back the other way.
Yep.
And then you run into like a clothesline or whatever the fuck it is we were doing. And we made belts. We had storylines. We had factions. We had a corrupt president, Matt. My buddy Matt wanted to be like a Vince McMahon type character where he played the puppet master to all the champions and screwed with everybody's careers. And we had all different types of each of us came up with wrestlers in just about every federation, every different weight class. So I had a luchador. I had a 250-pound luchador wrestler.
Stop! You've hit oil.
This all happens this back in the gold. 90s. Right. This all happens in the 90s. We all go to college, move away, you know, do our lives and everything else. And the LCW, unbeknownst to any of us, somebody came up with that as like a legitimate name for a small-time wrestling federation here locally. And so suddenly these banners started popping up that just said LCW, Lancaster Championship Wrestling, and it would have these local guys in a ring somewhere. And so somebody took a screen cap of that and sent it to a couple of us old heads saying the LCW's at it again when they're going to reopen because, you know, the quarantine's going to be up here soon. And so I got it in my head. I'm like, we should do a documentary of a Where Are They Now for all the characters. In it. And it was like OG. This spark went off because everybody was like, that's a brilliant idea. You know, you can do it on your phone. We'll all send it to Matt. Matt's like, I'm already working on like pulling together like a rough idea for a script for the documentary or the mockumentary, as it were. And
please make this happen. Do not rest until this is finished. I have to see this.
Well, I told my buddy, my other buddy Jim, who brought to life such lively characters as Skankin' Jim Pickle, and.
A boombox that you would play your theme music so you could
Here's the wrestling action had to take place kind of close to the house because our extension cords only went so far.
Well, of course.
So we set up like had like TV trays with the stereo and like the fucking speakers and stuff. One of our I'll get me a little ahead of myself, but so yeah, we it was all low budge. If you weren't in the match, you were trying to do color commentary, basically. And so yeah, so we get this idea to try and do a Where Are They Now, right? Now this is years later, and I tell my buddy Skankin' Jim, who also was the drunken Notre Dame fan. He had like an empty beer can, and he just like was covered in Notre Dame stuff. He just run down to the rink, get pinned, and then just go get drunk. So I tell Jim, I'm like, dude, so we're thinking about doing a documentary about the old LCW days. And he's like, that's great. I wonder if anybody still has any of the old tapes. And I do mean like cassette or like VHS tapes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Oh man, that's asking a lot, because it's been 22 fucking years since we used to do this shit. And it's a lot of moving from place to place to place and everything else. And so I'm like, well, I'll ask. And so I throw it out to the circle of the OG LCW members. I'm like, does anybody still have any of the old tapes? And Matt used to have a couple. And he's just like, I could dig some up. I think I might have one or two. I don't know anybody with a VCR. And I'm just like, right over here, buddy. Rob Van Dam, right fucking here. I got a VCR because I live in the past, too.
VCR. So,
the pinnacle.
VCR, that's awesome. Yes. So Matt's like, yeah, let me see what I can do. And then Steve, my other buddy Steve, who brought to life such characters as Sloppy Steve, or
you guys weren't very creative with your names.
Oh, we weren't. It was usually like new adjective with our actual first name. So I was like Jester Jim or Jim Justice when I was a ref. Like, not a whole lot of thought going into some of the creator. It was more about costumes, because I mean, all right, well, I'll get to that too here in a second. So I say to everybody, like, does anybody have any little tapes? Steve chimes in. And he's like, I think I might have something. And the next thing is a series of pictures he's taken with his phone. He pulls out, he had archived every match that we had recorded. He had, wow, like, drawers of the tapes that he had made copies of. He had binders. Motherfucker made binders that he had transcribed the original, like, dot matrix scripts that we had to print out on the old printers, and then like the belt fed machine gun style paper that took 3 hours to print 15 pages. He transcribed that shit into a new form, put it in a binder. He broke down every win loss of each of us, not just of us individually, but our individual characters as well. So every incarnation, even if they were only in one, you know, event, like such awesome events like Backyard Brawl 2 and 3, King of the Yard, to name a few.
You know, I had tickets for King of the Yard, but I couldn't make the flight.
Yeah, well, it's quite posh. It's quite posh.
So, and I okay, Jim, I got to know, who was the character you're most proud of?
Well, I know created? Who I'm most ashamed of.
That's what
we'll get
we
to him
know.
In a minute.
I like how the first one. Like, well, I'm really just.
Well, I was like, it was like Christmas for me, because Steve starts putting them up. And by the way, some of the guys that were in the original LCW, they worked hard in their lives, and they've got really good jobs, which means that these tapes ever got
they
out.
Don't want these tapes.
Not a chance.
Big Jim
not
would
a
be
fucking,
dead.
I'm not talking like future senators. I'm just talking people that don't want to lose their pensions. You know what I mean? So,
Dave, can you come into the office and bring everything in your desk with you?
Yeah. Don't bring any folding chairs, Dave. What is he talking about? Oh, it's already all over
shit.
The fucking.
Oh,
it's already all over the office.
Front news of the Lancaster Post.
Teenage wrestling scandal rocks small town Pennsylvania. Well, the thing was, so okay,
in breaking news in Lancaster,
I start watching some of these old videos, and it's like the memories and like the silly catchphrases and shit that we used to have. I had hair like full fucking thick, luscious 18-year-old, you know, virile hair.
Someone likes a bragger, Samantha.
Oh yeah, appreciate it. I appreciate you. That's nice. Yeah. Always on your side. Always on your side. But
I work for a bank. I'm not on anyone's side.
It was filling up my heart. Like, there was a sense of joy that was coming along.
Someone's
with it
under
but
attack.
I know. I called in air support, but they haven't responded yet. Anyway,
my hair
so
was just too much for them.
The downside came when I started hearing some of the horribly dumb shit that was coming out of my mouth when I was doing color commentary. because I was trying to be funny, trying to be clever, and I was really just being kind of homophobic and more than a little like racist towards, but we do like the Hispanic jokes whenever we do Luchador matches, you know. And so it was really kind of like a, And again, it wasn't anything derogatory directly. You know, we had one of the guys is also a founding member, Carlos. He's a founding member. He made jokes along as well, but I wasn't okay with it. I wasn't okay with the stuff that I was saying. And so I sent a private message to Carlos and just like, hey, bro, like straight talk, you and me. I know this was 22 fucking years ago. And I know that we were just dumb, like high school kids, but I didn't think I ever took a second to think that maybe you might feel a kind of way about some of the dumb shit that I was, you know, trying to come up with. So, but he was fine with it. He said he didn't care one way or the other, but
actually the response was, who's this?
No, we're actually getting together Friday night to play Discord. We're going to get on there and play Secret Hitler. I don't know what the fuck that is, but apparently it's just a fun little online
game. It's supposed to be fun. Yeah, I've never played it.
It's a little complicated, but it'll be like a little game that like we used to have. But, so yeah, Carlos was you know, he kind of let it be water under the bridge or whatever. But so my bruiser, the guy that I wanted to be the best, like the champion, was Beast or the Beast. And a buddy of mine had made with his very basic, metalworking skills, this piece of tin metal that he kind of fashioned crudely into like a skull sort of that was flat and had like a string that went around the back. And I'm like, I want that. He's like, you can have it. It's like, I got an F in the class or whatever. So I wore that, this shitty metal fake skull thing on my face. And I came out to Twisted Sisters, the Beast, and it's got a good drum beat that starts the whole thing, you know, and it's just like it. There's just this, you know, this sense of fear that there's going to be a battle, and it's going to be the Beast, and the Beast is going to win. And so,
is that what Danny's learning now?
What's that?
But is that what Danny's learning right now?
Yes. Sorry, new strings have to stretch.
Yeah. But. Beast never got a title push. Well, he got a push, but he never got the title because corrupt President Matt always kept him from achieving his goal, achieving his dream.
He was oppressing the Beast.
Always trying to keep the Beast down.
And the thing is, like, it was really eye-opening because in my mind, you know, a number of years go by, you kind of romanticize the past. You think, like, oh, yeah, I was younger. I was fitter. I was in shape. I'm looking at my fat ass trying to pull off like some basic like Russian leg sweeps, you know, or like a gut wrench suplex or whatever. Somebody like, I was supposed to do the thing where like I get flung into the ropes and I dive over the top of them. I did mostly, but when I kind of slopped onto the mat, because that's really how it was, it was like a sack of wet cement just like flap and just like it sort of I just sort of landed and didn't move, you know. You watch pro wrestling and you think, ah, it's fake, yada yada, whatever, or it's all predetermined or whatever. Mm-mm. You know, the appreciation for the exaggerated body movements and everything else, we would do these matches with no preparation, no we would have ego rules match, which means basically go until you can't anymore.
Yeah.
And that's where the character that I have the most amount of regret for, it would be my luchador wrestler, who I insensitively nicknamed Emmanuel Labor.
Oh, God.
Oh. Wow.
Priceless.
Wow.
I gotta see like some highlight reels from this shit, Big Jim.
Again, honestly, I wouldn't use the word highlight. It's more of a low light.
Yeah, yeah, blooper reel.
I want to see. I want to see the Beast. I've got to see the Beast. The thing.
Now, our number one fan, our president of the fan club here, my buddy Drew and I, when we were growing up, we did the exact same shit. We just didn't film
it because,
you know, we figured that at some point, well, we just didn't have a camera, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But
and obviously too, like we weren't doing it. We weren't doing it like you see the lunatics jumping off a fucking like
no.
And throw each other through like
So Drew had won one of those giant fucking stuffed animals from Rose Festival, and it was a lobster. So apparently our tag team duo fucking hated this lobster because we did every move we saw on TV to this lobster. And then when we had the ice storm in, I think, like 96 or something like that, we decided to go outside wrestling. And we decided to take on the snow and ice with flying headbutts. Might explain a lot about myself, but, you know, whatever. That's another topic for another day. But, yeah, Drew and I, dude, we did the exact same shit. No ropes. Just fling, oh, slow down, turn around, come back, oh, geez, you know. Oh, fuck, it was priceless. So, yes.
Well, yeah, and this is what we did before the internet, you know? Yeah, we didn't have
trying to entertain yourself.
Exactly, right?
My best friend Courtney and I, we were in martial arts together, so we were, like, beating each other up. But we, in the winter, we would go get slushies, like the cherry red ones, and we would put a little slushy in our mouth, and we would fake punch each other when cars came by and just splatter blood all over the snow.
Nice.
I
did that with Kool-Aid.
My little brother, when we were younger, he was a lot smaller, a lot lighter. So I would pick it. We would have fake wrestling matches, and I would pick him up and body slam. He never got hurt because I was always very careful to make sure that, like, I was going to slam him really hard, but I would never let him actually hit. And I would also pile drive him. I'd pick him up and do the pile drive, but his head never hit the ground. Like, it was always, my knees took the brunt of everything. So it was always, I was always, like, super safe. And then we learned how to do the
choke. Yeah, took the brunt of everything except for the psychological damage you were doing to him.
Oh, no, physical.
Because that leaves marks. No.
By your crotch.
No, my brother would egg it on. We would love to wrestle. But we figured out one day how to do a convincing choke slam.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it was like I would grab him around his throat, but he would grab my arm, and he would, like, all his weight would be on my arm because he was holding with his arms onto my wrist. Mm-hmm. I would lift him up and then slam him. So
that's how it's done.
Yeah.
And that's why every time the microwave goes off, he, like, falls into the fetal position and cries for an hour.
Ding ding. Oh shit.
It might be why he's become a super crazy gun nut conservative Republican shitbag.
Look what you did, James. Look what you did.
One too many choke slams. What can I say?
I used to wrestle with my brother, too, when I was a kid. Now, the difference was my brother's, you know, considerably older than myself and was always, like, the athlete and shit like that. So, you know, I got pummeled pretty bad. But, honestly, you know, whenever we would do, like, body slams or shit like that, he would basically just, like, throw me onto the bed and shit. So, you know, that was our springboard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, honestly, I stopped wrestling with my brother because we would get into it. And he'd kick something over on his nightstand, and my parents would yell, "Hey, knock it off! Danny did it! The fuck, bro? This is bullshit." So yeah, I must have been, last time I wrestled my brother, I was probably about 8.
25. So, yeah.
Earlier this week.
Every Christmas.
So my mom brought a boyfriend home one day. And,
and you wrestled
we've met
him
a couple times, but
you blessed him?
Yeah, we wrestled him for the soul of my mother. So
the ultimate championship match.
Ding ding.
So we had met him briefly a couple times. This is the first time he's, like, spent significant time with us. And my brother was in martial arts with me, so we grew up, you know, throwing each other across the room. It was never a big deal. Until he tried to take it too far, then I'd whoop his ass because I'm much better than he is. So
you gave him a receipt.
Girl. So
whatever.
My mom's apartment you could go all the way through the kitchen, through the hallway, the living room, dining room. So it's a big circle. And we had, there was a couch that rolled out into a bed, and the bed was like a mat on the floor. So that was like our wrestling ring. So I'm chasing my brother and I catch him and I pick him up like a big old chokehold and I slam on the ground. The whole apartment goes, and then we pop up and then he chases me. So we're going back and forth and my mom's boyfriend's like, oh my God, what's going on? He's so freaked out because he's never seen this before. And my mom's like, oh, they're fine. Not a big deal. And my brother and I are like beating the shit out of each other.
I usually let them go until there's blood.
Big Jim.
You know.
Dude. These pictures have got to be on like Patreon or something here. This shit is priceless. Oh,
let's turn them into coloring books.
Are you fucking posting
them? We need more of those.
Dude, Big Jim, your hair. You and me, we have the same hairline that runs from the front all the way to the back.
Pretty much, yeah.
Fucking priceless, dude. Oh, hell yeah. Oh, the master maker. Oh, I love it.
So, Emmanuel Labor had a tag team partner.
Oh, my gosh.
Minimum wage. more of a Caribbean based, kind of like a capoeira style fighter. But I made my own t-shirts, I made my own costumes. And so for Emmanuel Labor, this was during like the Attitude era.
Too. Dude, that is some gloriously long hair you've got there.
Dude, nice Maui hook.
Thank you.
Last one. That's.
I'm gonna turn those into coloring book pages for our Patreon tier. So.
Well, and it answers the question
because I was
going to ask if you wore spandex or anything like that, but clearly not. Just whatever was in your closet.
Just whatever you could cut up.
A lot of jean shorts.
Yeah, because
a lot of jean shorts that I didn't give much of a fuck about.
Those are some legs that
I would need
some sunshine too.
Jim.
What I would do is I would take black t-shirts. I would take black t-shirts and I would take bleach, right? And I would take a baby syringe, like those little like ball syringe kind of jaunts, you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Dude. I mean, you gotta walk me through here. What's with the bottle of what I can only assume is like suntan lotion here.
There we go.
I hope it's suntan lotion. For all I know, it's Jergens. You're oiling up for a match here, are you?
No, I'm fine. I've
and baby soft skin.
I gotta say, so, my favorite is where you've got your hair slicked back and you've got the Letterman jacket on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You're like pointing, like, I'm going to get you, man.
America.
See you in the ring.
Yeah.
The Letterman jacket character was my character. He was the American Chode.
Of course he was.
Yes.
Of course.
Why is he not a wrestler now? We need this.
He came out to Kansas's Wayward Son. That was my entrance music. We spent a lot of time thinking about what our entrance music. I would come up with entrance music song and then build a character around it.
In the picture with you wearing the mask with, by the way, no eyes cut out, is that the mat behind you? Is that the ring?
Yep.
Yes, ish. Yeah.
Yep.
That's, yeah, the thick brown one.
How did you guys wrestle in that? Because that's not even close to ringside. That's like an elevator.
Because that's where all your collisions happen. That's where all your moves happen.
Are the chairs the ring posts?
Yeah, well, kind of. They were like turnbuckles that you could climb, sort of. It was, again, fast and loose. Fast and loose with the rules. Fast and loose with the scripts.
Danny, this is like 5 steps below Taco World Wrestling.
Dude, this is fucking priceless right here.
You have no idea how happy this is.
This is for the Taco World Wrestling. This is the minors to the major league Taco World Wrestling here. I mean,
I want to make every one of your characters, Jim, into a character on Taco World Wrestling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Yeah, the green tie-dye
outfit that was – oh, okay. So, James, you were asking about the mask. That was myself and another of the LCW alumni, my buddy Bo, my good buddy Bo. He and I put on those masks. I had there's like a black one and a purple one. And we hiked our fucking shorts up to our nipples as far as it would go.
Clearly.
And we were like – we're like, we should be rednecks. And he's like, perfect. So we were like the Bushwhackers with Mortal Kombat hoods. And we called ourselves Sheen and Dean Ween, the Ween brothers.
Nice.
And yeah, we basically, our whole, our finishing move, if you would call it that, was the poke. We just like get you down and poke you. Just two people poking you until you're like, fucking all right, give up. It worked once.
Tap out, bro.
This is so beautiful.
So I was saying I would make my own shirts. I'd make my own shirts. I would take the bleach. I put them in the syringe, the baby syringe, and I would use it to try and write words on the black shirt so they would like bleed through and suddenly it's all bright white on this black, you know, background or whatever. So like, and of course you can't write with any kind of like consistency because you're writing with like a very fit, lot of liquid or whatever.
Oh, big jam.
That's so, like, I had, I actually still have a couple shirts, I think, somewhere. But it was manual labor. It was during the Austin 316 era. And so my t-shirt said, 425 says Emmanuel Labor just cleaned your pool. It's like 316 means, yeah, that whole thing. So, I made t-shirts for that. So the long-haired character with the green tie-dye, that's Moondoggy. One half of Pacific Scene, a tag team that I was a part of. Even back then, I was dreaming of the West Coast, not unlike Art Alexakis. Let's see here. Yeah. But Emmanuel Labor was a champion. He won an 8-man battle royal, ego rules match. So put that in your fucking pipe and smoke it.
I am filled with so much joy right now.
Right? I haven't been this tickled sideways in a long time. Thank you, Big Tim.
Well, I mean, I was so excited when Steve started uploading, like, backyard brawl. Some of these were, like, 2 hours long that we would do. Backyard Brawls 2 and 3 were both 2 hours long each. I watched both of them over the weekend. King of the Yard 1 doesn't take place in a fucking yard. We're in Matt's basement on a concrete floor in a finished basement beating the snot out of each other.
You have to get these digitized so we can watch them.
No.
He's like, absolutely not.
Oh,
but I'm not even in charge of it. Steve is. Steve has got like, he's got a lot of technical know-how, and he allows me in, so I'm allowed to go see it. I take screen caps of just me doing doofy shit, and I'll send those out. I'll send plenty of those out.
Can he take your matches so we can watch them?
Just one.
Please, just whatever. I don't care. As long as you're in the ring, I want to see your entrance. I want to see all the blood, sweat, and tears. I need this. You don't understand how much I need this.
You're begging me to give you something to give you joy that is a high source of regret and shame for myself. So you're begging me for schadenfreude is essentially what you're trying to do.
Yeah, Jim, pretty much.
Yeah,
Jim, you're a stand-up comedian. You should be used to this.
Right?
But you get what I give you. You don't get to make fucking requests. This is an American fuck bandstand.
Yeah, I think it is, buddy. Oh, come on. Now, Big Jim, come on, dude. For at least you and I here, like, we're kin in this, you know, backyard wrestling, Jim, fucking arena, Jim, shit.
I like how Danny is
Wait, guys, so wait. Jim? Do it for Blind Guardian.
Mm.
Do it for Drew.
You guys, if you're that,
we should set it as a Patreon goal.
If you seriously want to see it that badly,
Give me a fucking, give me a number, and yeah, just start bidding. You know, just get some revenue generated here, yeah, and then we'll talk. I'm not giving this fucking shit away. You saw the pictures. That's a small.
Those are teasers. Those are gonna be teasers.
Yeah, you just teased us. You are a fucking wrestling cock tease.
Oh wait, you want cock tease? I'll send you one more. I was debating whether I should send this last one, but no. This one I don't know.
I'm scared.
This is a one that I'm probably gonna regret sincerely, but I should do it quickly before I have a chance to change my mind.
You should regret nothing.
No, I regret a lot of stuff. Let's see here.
No, okay, you. Back.
There it is.
Based on these pictures, you enjoy have nothing this. To regret.
That's a, I believe that's a Garth Brooks t-shirt. Or was.
Oh, dude.
Oh, I love it.
Ladies, start your engines.
What are you going to do when Gymomania runs wild?
Oh,
oh yeah.
Let me tell you something, brother.
How big were those pythons, Jim?
More emphasis on the pie than the thon, if you know what I'm saying.
I love the
pie.
Unfinished.
Where's my pie? I smell pie.
If you smell the pie, am I near the pie?
Can somebody just give us some fucking pie, for God's sake?
This is fucking priceless, buddy. It is truly priceless.
God,
I can't tell if you're doing like a stage grimace or you're taking a shit.
A little column A, a little column B.
For all of our Menstrata characters, we should come up with entrance wrestling music.
The one I discovered
when Drew and I used to wrestle a lot was Wherever I May Roam was my go-to intro music.
That's a good one.
But also would roll some Sad But True, and I think he would usually either trade off on that one. But I think we also pulled like some Ozzy No More Tears and stuff like that. You know, the big grandeur fucking entrance musics for what they were. Yeah. Yeah.
I will have to double check, but I think everyone on this podcast has a character in Taco World Wrestling. And,
yeah, dude.
If I think about it this weekend, I will pull videos and get them made up so you can all see.
Tacos!
I remember, so, I was wondering what all this was, but I remember you creating characters for everyone. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So
we haven't talked about it in a long time, so it kind of like...
Jim, you will be happy to know that both Court and Fatboy have characters in Taco World Wrestling.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
beat the shit out of those two fuckers. Send the American Chode after that. So the American Chode would wear my, I would wear my varsity Letterman's jacket to the ring to Weird Son, and I would put my hair up into three ponytails. I had two out the side and then one out the back, because I was just letting my hair grow. It was right after I graduated high school, so let it grow as much as I possibly could, and I had a pair of the red, white, and blue boxers. And I cram them down the front of my trunks, I guess, if you will. And I get to the ring, and I shove my hand into the front of my pants, and I pull out the American flag, and I'd show it to the crowd as a way to kind of get them, like, you know, horrified or whatever.
So that's that second picture of you being like,
Yeah, that's like, yeah.
You just smelled them. I should clean. Really shower.
They were clean.
They smell like night wolves.
Samantha, you are on top of it today.
Killing it.
Do my best.
All right, folks. I got nothing but love for you, but I gotta go.
Yeah, I think this is a good place to wrap this up.
We'll set a Patreon goal for videos.
I think we all need to go on Jim's Facebook, find this alleged Steve. And tell him how important it is
no.
to see.
Facebook yes. stalk him.
Little Facebook.
No, I tell you what. I think once we do, because in all honesty, the home video footage is, it's like driving through Montana. It's nice for about 2 minutes, and then it gets really old really fast.
Maybe for you, I will watch every single one of your. I am a fan.
Yeah.
I think when we do our, when we do the mockumentary, when we can edit it together better, so you're getting like the choice chunks instead of like, again, 2 hours long, a lot of filler. I mean, a lot of fucking filler. So when we get the mockumentary done, I think that will be something that we can show to our friends and to our family.
If we can get some raw footage, I can edit together some Big Jim stuff for Patreon. Just saying.
So level three Patreon, you get to hack in a Jim's computer and get all his fucking login information, and then you can go and watch the movie. So
I'm sure there's someone out there.
1, 2, 3, 4. Done.
$12 a month, or whatever the fuck it's supposed to be.
$12 an episode, not a month. Come on, let's get this. Let's make him pay for it. Yeah, well, I mean, so if you want to give it away, that's your call.
Are you going to pay for it, Bryce? How sadistic yes. do you have to be? Come on, brawl.
Everyone will pay for it. Trust me.
You know Bryce. He's very sadistic.
Yeah.
Okay, kids.
That's why we love him, though.
We're going to call this one. We appreciate you listening. And remember, we do have a Patreon, not another Patreon. Go there. Help us out. We really appreciate it. Three tiers. You can find out all the bonus stuff you could get by helping us out. And why are you guys making faces?
Because fuck you.
Faces at each other.
Samantha and I are talking.
But and I'm flexing so. On the show. I love you so very much. Jim, especially you right now.
You're a badass.
Thanks for being so vulnerable. The show.
I love you, buddy.
No, I'm glad that my pain can sustain you for another week.
You're awesome.
And we will talk to you all next week. Bye.
Bye.
See ya. Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.